Luke chapter 10, verse 1. The Lord says, Luke 10, verse 1, he says, "After this the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, "Peace to this house." And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town.'" If you'll go with me down to verse 17, "At their return, the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That, Lord, they're written not in ink, but with the blood of Jesus, who died on the cross to redeem us. We thank you so much, Lord. Help us to live as risen people every day, Lord, to be about your work down here below as we await your coming, Lord, as we can say, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Lord, help us to be able to pray that every moment of every day, that we would not be found ashamed, that we would not be found in sin, that we would not be found at your coming involved in ungodliness. Thank you, Father God. Fill us up. Give me the words to preach this morning, Lord. Give us all hearts and minds to listen to your word every day, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We come here to the mission of the 70. In verse 1 of chapter 10, as we read, go with me back there. He says, "After this, the Lord appointed 70. If you'll go back in Genesis chapter 10, you'll recognize that there were 70 nations shown forth. Book of Matthew, the latter part of it, at the end, it tells us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God's gospel is for every people of every race, every person. There's neither Jew nor Greek nor Gentile nor slave nor free, the Bible tells us. But God is God of all, and the offer of salvation is for all people. The Lord appointed 70. Maybe that's why he appointed 70, because of the 70 nations from Genesis 10. Whatever his reason, we're to go out into the world. Go out and show others the wonderful, wonderful things that God has done on the cross of Calvary for our redemption, that he loves everybody. Jesus loves everybody. He loves me. He loves you. He loved Moses. He loved old Paul. He loved Luke and John. He loves us all just the same, and he died for us all equally. God loves us. Thank you, Lord. He says here, the 70 others, and he sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Just as we read in Revelation about the two witnesses, so too in the Old Testament, there's a law of two witnesses that would testify against something. Two witnesses testify against the sinfulness of the world, the Old and the New Testament, testify that we are in need of a Savior. He says they're going pairs, too, he says, to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Jesus was going to go here, not only physically, but he's going to go in spirit with them, just as he goes in spirit with us, wherever he sends us. Wherever we're called to go, God is with us. He says, "The Lord thy God is with thee, wherever thou goest. The Lord is with us, wherever we go, as long as we're following him. We got the Holy Ghost with us to show us and lead us the way. We don't read the book and exhort it and tell others about Jesus on our own. We have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter." He said, "Don't plan ahead what you're going to say to others around us, whether they lock you in prison or whatever they're doing, but listen to the Lord and the Holy Spirit. He will give you the words to speak in the time and place. He'll do that for us today. That promise is for all of God's children. We can trust Him with our lives. We can trust Him no matter where we go to do His will. He will supply us. He says here, my God will supply all of your needs according to Jesus Christ's riches, those riches in Him. He says here, He Himself intended to go. He'll go with us. In verse 2, He said to them, the harvest is plentiful. Isn't it plentiful today, just as it was back in the day? That harvest is plentiful. He says here, oh, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few back then. To this very day, the laborers can often be few if God's children are not willing to live for Him. If we're not willing to set aside, the Bible says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Without holiness, how can we witness? We can't tell someone that they need to be saved by the grace of God to go to heaven. Not only that, to be freed from the chains of sin down here below, but if we ourselves, as God's children, proclaiming it with the lips, are living in bondage, are living in sin, living in the ways of the world, when the God looks down from heaven and sees no difference between us and the people of the world, is there really a difference between us? There should be, if we're saved by the grace of God. If the blood of Jesus has been applied to our soul, there's going to be a difference in our life. There's truly going to be a difference. Our lips can speak all we want, but unless the blood of Jesus has washed us clean and we're living in victory, there's no difference. The Bible says, thanks be to God who gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you living in victories, brothers and sisters? Are you living in victory in Jesus? That's one of my favorite hymns. He's our Savior forever, it says. Glory to God for that. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. We live in by the blood of Jesus. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Live in the Spirit, the Bible says. He said to them, the harvest is plentiful. It's so plentiful to this very day, but the laborers are few. We've got the choice to make. If we're going to be laboring for the kingdom, we can labor for a lot of things. We can labor for gold and silver and all kinds of things down here below. We can labor for other people. We can labor for countless things. But the thing we need to be laboring for, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We need to be laboring, for that does not perish, that the moth and the rust isn't going to corrupt. We need to labor for Jesus Christ and His kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is among us as we live for the Lord. He said, then the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Notice whose harvest this is. It's not mine. It ain't yours. It's the Lord. We read about in Revelation about Judgment Day that there's going to be two reapings of the earth. The first one talks about one of them's an angel, one of them's Jesus, the Son of Man. He reaps His people. He calls them home. And the other angel, when it reaps, it goes into the winepress of the wrath of God. We got to be laboring down here below. We got to be seeking to be used for the harvest of the Lord, the harvest of souls for the Lord. We don't want people to go into the second harvest, the one of the winepress of wrath of God, the separate one. We want them being harvested with the Lord. He says here, the harvest is plentiful. We want everybody to be saved. We need to be seeking for others around us to be saved, to know Jesus as Savior, to be free, set free from the bondage of sin. But we've got to be living as free people first before we can tell others about Jesus' freedom. He says here, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Straight is the way, and narrow is the gate that leadeth to eternal life, the Bible tells us. But wide and broad is the way that leads to destruction. The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. We can look around us and see lostness in this world. It's no mystery this world's fallen. It's no mystery it's a lost and dying world. I mean, just look around us. It's easy to see. But it's also easy to see when we look at it from a godly perspective. We see that the harvest is plentiful. So much to do for the Lord, so much love to show, so much holiness to live, so much we can do to bring others to Jesus Christ, so much love of God that we can bestow upon others, and grace upon grace. He says, but the laborers are few. Let's not be few. Let's be wonderful. Let's send out all our heart, mind, soul, and strength for the Lord's labor. He says here, therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. He was looking for somebody in the Old Testament. What did he say? Here I am. Send me. Samuel, Samuel, he called. He said, here I am. Send me. Wouldn't it be? Well, what a glorious thing it'd do if all of God's children said, here I am, Lord, send me. We have that choice to make every day. Don't pass the buck off, oh, send such and such and send somebody else. Lord, send me. Lord, send us. He says here, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Let's be the ones that we're seeking to be sent out. He says here in verse 3, how is he going to do it? Go on your way, he says. You got to go. We got to go about and be about the Lord's work. We can't just be sitting around. We got to be up and about the Lord's business. We can't be a stagnant pond. We got to be seeking the Lord, river flowing of river, living waters from the Holy Ghost, our cup overflowing. He says, go on your way. See, he says, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Notice we're the sheep of his pasture, the Bible tells us in Psalms. That Jesus Christ, elsewhere, he says, he is the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The devil, he's not scared of me. He ain't scared of you. He ain't scared of none of us down here below. Who's he scared of? He's afeared of the shepherd, the Lord, the giver of life. We need to stay close to the shepherd. He says here, how's he sending us? He's sending us like lambs into the midst of wolves. We're his lambs, the sheep of his pasture. We need to stay close to the shepherd because the wolves are raging about us. Bible says the devil is prowling about the world, seeking whom he may devour like a roaring lion. We need to stay close to our shepherd. When we get out here, when a lamb gets out there in the muck and mire in the field, gets stuck, it walks away, and it dies. It gets its hoof frost and it dies and gets ate up. Brothers and sisters, if we're staying close to the shepherd, if we start to get stuck, he'll pull us out. If we stay close to him, he'll clean us up. He'll keep us in his way. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, the Bible tells us. The rod of correction and the staff of guidance. He says there, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. But God's sending us out, so he's with us. How does he do that? Verse 4, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Carry no purse. We ain't be worrying about money to do this, money to do that. It's the Lord's will. If we do the Lord's will, he'll take care of it all. Carry no purse, he says. Don't even worry about it. God will provide us. No bag. Don't even be hauling a bunch of stuff. Don't be toting it around with you. We got more important things to worry about than grabbing stuff up. He says here, no sandals. God will provide. Remember in the children of Israel when they marched around in the wilderness, God made sure they used one pair of shoes. Their shoes didn't even wear out. He had the angel to go before them. God goes before us himself by the Holy Ghost. He says here, and greet no one on the road. We got more things to do. Back in that day, we didn't just say shake hands, say howdy and how you doing and go on. They had elaborate greetings. When you saw someone on the side of the road, you had to do all sorts of stuff. You didn't have time for that. Jesus said, don't even worry about that. We need to be focused as God's children, not be distracted. Focused on the kingdom of God. Focused on living for him. What is your life? Look back this week. What has your life been focused on more? Has it been focused on Jesus Christ, the Word of God, his holiness, his ways, his truth, his light? Or has it been focused on anything else? On the TV? Even focusing too much on the workplace? We could just, list, and I would run out of paper before we list everything else we could be filling our minds with and doing. We have a duty to do in the labors. Apostle Paul was a tent maker. We got that. That's what we have to do down here below. We've got all these different things that matter. But what matters most is Jesus Christ. Just like old Mary and Martha. Martha was too concerned with doing things that needed done down here below that she missed Jesus. She wasn't listening to Jesus. Listen to Jesus first. Then we can properly and truly do everything else, our duties down here below. How can a husband love a wife more? By loving Jesus first and vice versa. How can we be a better employee at work? By loving Jesus better. Then we can be respectful and be industrious as we need to be. By loving Jesus first that we can do everything. But we're going to love him first and put him first in everything. If you're not doing that, then we're having a lot of idols. He says here, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Don't be distracted by the ways of the world. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Put Jesus first in his ways. And verse 5, whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. Notice here, God's peace is going out to everybody. Anybody can receive God's peace through faith in him. And we're supposed to be offering the peace of God to everybody. Peace to this house. He says, whatever house you enter, wherever you go. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. Be focused on sharing the gospel of peace, sharing the gospel of God's love and his truth, but also of his holiness and his justice. He says here, your peace will rest on that person. Glory to God. Peace be with you, as Jesus said when he calmed the storm. Peace be with you. He says that very same thing to us every day. Peace, be still. We'll have his peace. He is our peace, the Bible tells us. Jesus is our peace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding guards our hearts and our minds when we have the knowledge of Jesus, when we're seeking him, when we love him first, we have that peace. Have you got peace today? He says, if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. That's a sad thing for someone. Don't ever reject the peace of God, but live in God's peace. He's our Sabbath rest, the Bible tells us. We aren't just bound to one day of rest and then every day working like a dog. No, brothers and sisters, every day we have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Jesus is our peace. He says here, verse 7, remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. God will provide for you. God will show you the way. He will give you what you need. My God shall supply all my needs according to the riches and mercy in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us. He will supply our needs. He will take care of us. Heavenly Father will. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He says here, your peace will rest on that person. Remain in the same house. He says here, do not move about from house to house. Don't be seeing how much you can get from somebody. Don't be seeing what all you can get. Be about the Father's business, just as Jesus was all his life. Be about the Father's business. He says, I and the Father am one. No man goeth to the Father but by me. Jesus said that. He says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to the Father. Him and the Father are one. We need to be one with him by the Holy Spirit. Do not move about from house to house. In verse 8, whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, praise God, welcome the people of God. Eat what is set before you. Allow others to be charitable and be charitable to them. Cure the sick, it says, glory to God. We have the authority in Jesus' name to cure the sick so often when we're in line with God's holy word. Cure the sick, he says, who are there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. The effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much, the Bible tells us. If we want our prayers to get through to heaven, then we need to live for the Lord. If we want our prayers to have effectual, if he want to have effect on whatever we're praying about, we need to be living holy lives. And iniquities puts a block between us and the Lord. It blocks our communion with God when we are weighing sin upon sin, toting it on ourselves. We'll lay it aside. Lay aside the sin that doth so easily beset us. The Bible says, lay aside every weight that's weighing us down from serving the Lord. We can get our prayers to heaven more fully. We can be closer to God. We can have true communion with him. He hears us and loves us. Cure the sick, he says. Who are they there? And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near. He says here, kingdom of God has come near to you. Glory to God. The kingdom comes near, don't he? With Jesus comes. When God's people are living for him, the kingdom of God comes near. Cure the sick who are there. The kingdom of God came to them. The most wonderful cure of all, the worst sickness is sin. The most wonderful cure is the blood of Jesus, and the kingdom of God comes near. In verse 10, but whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out in the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. What a sad thing. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Know it anyways. The kingdom of God has come near. Know it anyways. Even if they reject it, God's kingdom came to them. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. Lord help. We remember what happened to Sodom. They were too warped up and wrapped up in sin and rejecting the ways of Jesus, and sin, fallen sin. When those angels came down, they tried to do terrible things to him. The angels that was there protect Lot. Lord, help. An old Lot, someone that was serving the Lord before, they got in there. He let Sodom get on him. We got to be careful where we go. He pushed out his own daughters and say, have at it with them instead of these angels. Brothers and sisters, God help. Sin multiplies with sin more and more. Where sin abides, more sin will go. But praise God, where grace abides, there's grace enough in God's kingdom. There's grace enough in the blood of Jesus to wash us from all sin, to cleanse us. He says, if they're rejecting Jesus, I tell you, on that day it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. God rained down fire and brimstone and absolutely destroyed Sodom. We can think about what's going to happen to those that reject Jesus. Don't reject Jesus. He's not wanting to rain down fire and brimstone on your soul. He's not willing the nation should perish, but he wants all to come to him. He wants everybody in heaven. He's given the opportunity. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We got a wonderful story to tell. But how cruel would it be for God's children, for God's people, instead of spreading the love of God and telling people about Jesus, to reject it, to say, no, I'm not going to tell them about Jesus. I'm too worried about my reputation with the lost and world. I'm too worried about this and that, these horrible things. I want to be looking good for the world. Brothers and sisters, what a terrible thing that thought process would be. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before the Father. No matter what it is. You know, it's in some parts of the country, cultural Christianity, it's just dead. It's out west places, I've talked to people, it's just doggone died. That's a good thing in many places. It's an entire different mission field. It's not a cultural thing to be Christian out there anymore. There's going to be more persecution in places like that. where the culture itself is volatile toward Christianity. That's familiar to the Christian history. That's when most of Christian church thrived. That's how it's doing in China. The Chinese dictator is talking about how scared he's getting because Christianity is growing so much, even amidst the persecutions that's happening over there. Roman Empire tried to kill all the Christians, but it just abounded more and more and more. Brothers and sisters, Jesus never promised that it'd be sunshine and roses down here below. He said, be ready. Look how they treat me. He said, be ready for persecutions. Be ready no matter what may happen. There may be coming a time in this country where they'll tell us, you can't bring the Bible around with you. You can't serve the Lord. You can't witness. You know, in Russia, it's illegal for Bible-believing Christians to witness because they're not a member of their certain type of church they like. It's like that all around the world. It may be coming here below in Canada. If you're a pastor of a church, there's things they tell you you cannot preach about. You cannot preach that homosexuality is a sin against God. God loves those people, but they forbid you to mention that it's a sin. There's so many people, it's living in sin, but God loves them just the same. Brothers and sisters, we need to be prepared to live for the Lord. No matter what happens down here below, the kingdom of God is not of this world. We need to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he may be near and be willing to do whatever it takes to serve the Lord first. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. We got a story to tell. We don't want all these people perishing. I love that hymn, Rescue the Perishing. Save the dying. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus will save. He'll save anybody who will call to him. But those that do not, it's a sad day. Jesus talks about that in verse 13. He says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. If they saw Jesus, what he did, if they had the opportunity to serve Jesus and see what he's done, they would have repented, even then back in the day, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. In the Old Testament, in the old days, that was the ultimate repentance, just taking off everything and sitting in ashes and sackcloth, weeping for your sin. God's people need to weep for sin and live in the joy of the Lord, repentance, when we're free from sin. But at the judgment, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you'll be brought down to Hades. That's the old word for hell. That's a sad thing. God's not wanting people to go to hell, but so many people go there every day because they refuse to follow him. We as God's children need not to live like that place doesn't exist. If we truly live like hell was an eternal place where the fire is burning, it will be cast in a lake of fire. Wouldn't it change how we witness to people? Not browbeating them with the Bible and being rude and mean-spirited to them, but know out of love for them because we care about their eternal soul, because Jesus does too, because he died for them, wants them to live in freedom down here below. He wants us all to live in freedom. No, you'll be brought down to Hades, he tells them. Verse 16, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. He's telling them, whoever listens to you, listens to me. How can that be except we live in the book? And our people of the book. How can it be that if they're hearing our words, they're hearing the words of God only by the Bible? We get in this book, it'll get in us, and we can live for him. Whoever listens to you, listen to me. Will they listen to us? Only if we're seeking the Lord and spreading his word and his ways. I didn't die for anybody, and neither did you. Our blood has no power, but God's, Jesus Christ, his Son, it does. Whoever listens to you, listens to me, says the kingdom of God is coming. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. They reject the message of Jesus Christ. They're rejecting him. And not only that, whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me, the one who created us. Before we were in the belly of the womb, God knit us together. Glory to God for that. It's how much he loves every person. It's how much he loves us so dearly. Verse 17. Notice here, they were obedient. Jesus commands obedience. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Not we'll keep our commandments so God will love us. It's not legalistic. It's not to earn favor with God. We seek to live in holiness and live for him out of love for him. If we truly love him, we're going to love what he loves and hate what he hates. That's what God commands us to do. Be ye holy as I am holy. God wants us to be like him. We're called Christians for a reason. Christ-like is what we're to be. Verse 17, the 70 return. How do they return? He says they return with joy. Glory to God. They had joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Are you living in joy? Are you living in peace? Or are you living in bondage of sin? The 70 returned with joy. They weren't living in bondage. They returned with joy. Where's joy? I love this old acronym I've heard. J-O-Y. Jesus, others, yourself. That's how we get joy, putting Jesus first of all, others, yourself. Serve the Lord with gladness, he says. Comes before his presence with singing. Sing the Lord a new song. Serve the Lord, he says. Return with joy. What'd they say? It says, saying, Lord, in your name, he says, in your name. What's the name? It's the name above all names. There's no other name whereby we're saved by heaven except the name of Jesus. It's a sad thing. It's used as a curse word so often. Jesus Christ, that's the name above all names. That's the name of the one that loves us more. He's got more reason. God could throw us all in hell, and he'd be just as righteous for doing it. But he doesn't. He does. He's out of love. He sent Jesus. Out of love, Jesus went willingly. He went willingly. He could have called down 10,000 angels, as that old hymn says, but he didn't. He died for me, for you, for all people. He says here, Lord, in your name, in the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus takes away sin. Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. Even the demons submit to us. You know, this isn't just a promise for the age of the apostles. It's a promise for all people. There, you won't find a verse in the Bible that says, the promises of God, the power of the Holy Spirit closed when the last apostle died. That's not in the Bible, as some say. The promise of the Holy Spirit, of walking in the Spirit, living for him, is for me and you for this very day. Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. The demons themselves, the legions of hell submitted, not because they're scared of the sheep, but because they bore the shepherd's name. They stay close to the shepherd. Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. He's round around. The devil himself's prowling about, seeking whom he may devour. He's got lots of minions and demons seeking whom they may devour. People love to play with them with little boards you can buy at bookstores. They love to play with them with all these different things, opening up to evil spirits with the spirits of alcohol and drugs. They love to open up their minds to him, open up their hearts to him, open up their homes to him by what's on the TV, by what's all allowing in your home, brothers and sisters. But the demons submit to not that. They don't submit to us. They submit to the name of Jesus. If we're living in the name of Jesus, even they will submit to us. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve, Jesus said. Each time he came, when the devil came to him tempting him, Jesus returned with the word of God, the scriptures. Even when the devil was twisting the scriptures, Jesus gave the scripture right back to him. Not only that, for notice he quoted, as I've mentioned before, each time Jesus quoted scriptures to the devil when he was tempted, he quoted the book of Deuteronomy. How many times do we read the book of Deuteronomy? It's important to read the whole counsel of God. Genesis 1, Revelation 22, the whole counsel of God, every bit of it, is God-breathed. The Bible says he breathed it out, the living word of God. Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. Submit to yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, James tells us. He will flee. That's a promise of the scripture. If we will submit to God, as these 70 did, if we'll submit to him and resist the devil, don't let the devil do as he pleases in your home. He doesn't have the keys to his own home. Where's his home? He don't have a home. He's roaming around in this world. He's going to be cast in a lake of fire. The demons themselves know it. When Jesus casts them out, what will you have to do with us? Oh, Jesus, Son of God, the time has not yet come. They know what the time's coming. They know the time's coming when we will be cast into the lake of fire where hell itself will be thrown. Live in victory over them. Lord, in your name, that's the name of Jesus. The name above all names. Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. Say, listen. Verse 18, he said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. He is cast out because of his disobedience. He was cast out because he refused to follow the Lord. He is thrown out of heaven. And brothers and sisters, not only that, Satan's kingdom starts falling down when God's children live in the kingdom of God. He says here, I watched Satan fall like heaven, fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. He's fell, defeated. He was defeated on the cross, and when Jesus rose again, let's not live in his defeat. Let's live in Christ's victory. Verse 19, see, I've given you authority, he says. He's given us. It's the Father's goodwill to give unto us the kingdom of God. If we're going to go out here as a mission of God's people, we need to live in his authority. If you read back in the Roman days, as you remember Pontius Pilate, he was a governor set over that territory. They had a very big structure of all their territories. But he was given the authority over the Judea land. As governor, he was given that authority from the emperor. We've got a higher authority. We're God's children. Our Heavenly Father is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He gives us the authority. I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Glory to God, all the power. There's no sin that the blood of Jesus can't break. There's no bondage that he can't set free. We're the ones that's supposed to be showing the Lord to people. We're his hands and feet of Jesus. We're the body of Christ, the Bible tells us. We're the bride of Christ, Revelation tells. I am giving you authority. He's given us the authority to tread on snakes and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. If you got an enemy living in your life, as the Lord's Prayer, another translation you read is deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from evil or deliver us from the evil one. We can pray that every day. He will deliver. Do you need deliverance? Have you got something you need delivered from this morning? And over all the power of the enemy, God's authority is over that. Even the demons submit to him. They tremble with the name of Jesus. They tremble and falter and fall. He says here, nothing will hurt you. Fear not them that can kill the body, and after that the soul departs. But fear him rather, Jesus says, that after the body dies can kill the soul and cast it into hell. The body dies and the soul is cast into hell. Fear him, Jesus says. Fear him. That's God Almighty, Heavenly Father. That's who we need to remember to reverence. That's who we're dealing with. It's the Lord, God Almighty, who created heaven and earth. He says there, nevertheless, do not rejoice at this. Don't just rejoice at that. Look what God's given us. Praise God. We can live in victory. Sin is optional in our lives. Bondage is optional, but so often we as God's children fall back. We start to go back. We need to speak pressing on forward. That's why we confess our sins every day. I love that prayer from Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Blot out my transgressions, as we prayed earlier. Cast me not away from thy presence, the Bible tells us. It's a powerful thing to read the Word of God. It's a wonderful, wonderful, powerful thing to pray the Word of God. Pray, read the Scriptures. One of our Methodist forefathers, George Whitfield, did. He prayed, read the whole entire Bible. He got down on his knees and prayed. He said, when he'd read it, he said, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of light. Lord, I trust you that that's happened. I'm going to trust you to do that in my life. Get Satan out of my life. See, I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions. Pray the Word of God. Seek the Lord. He's given us this authority by the Word of God, on his authority in him. Not on our own. We can't do it on our own. But by Jesus Christ and him alone. See, look, he's given us this authority. Let's live in it. He's given us this. Why would we not live in victory? Why would we not live for him? He says here, nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the Spirit submit. You notice here, he didn't say they wouldn't. He said they will. It's a promise of the Scripture. If we'll live for the Lord, if we'll love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, if we'll cleanse ourselves by coming to the throne of mercy every day, every morning, every moment of day, repenting to the Lord, keeping the sin out of us and living for him, if we'll do that, these spirits will submit to us. He says, don't rejoice just because the spirits submit to you, because they will if you're living for the Lord. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Glory to God. I know my name is written there, as that hymn tells us. No Lamb's Book of Life. Be careful that it's not blotted out by licentiousness in the ways of sin. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, but that the Spirit submit to you, but rejoice that your name's written in heaven. Is your name written in heaven? We can rejoice at that. While others seek down here below to carve a name of title, high up in heaven's Book of Life, my name is written there, the Bible tells us. It's written in heaven. That's what that hymn's talking about when we sing it. Glory to God. They came back. It was a success, wasn't it? It wasn't a failure. Let's live in the success of Jesus. In verse 21, at the same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You know, God rejoices when we live in victory. He's given us what we need. He's given us the Word of God, the Bible. He's given us the Holy Ghost to live in our heart and reign with us. He's given us the kingdom of God. It's a rejoicing thing if we'll live in it. He gives us the choice to make. The same hour Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. He rejoiced, not just anything, but in the Holy Spirit, and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. We can all thank the Father for this. We can all thank him just like Jesus did. No servant is greater than his master. We can serve the Lord. Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and revealed them to infants. Praise God. You can have all the doctorate degrees on earth that you want, but it's just revealed by the Holy Spirit. We want to know the Bible, we need to get in it and let the Word of God get in us. Oh, it's amazing the terrible things they'll teach you so many places, that the Word of God is not the Word of God. It doesn't mean what it says, but it does, brothers and sisters. Seek the Lord, his Word, no matter how many pieces of paper somebody may have framed on their wall. Trust the Word of God. above all things. He says here, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent. If we realize within ourselves that we're not wise on our own, what does the Bible say? The Bible says the wisdom of man is nothing but foolishness to God. It's nothing. It's foolish. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. The Bible tells us in Proverbs, but when we live for God, we know He's real every day. Look around us. Look, this beautiful snow God's given us. It reminds me of how our sins are washed whiter than snow by the blood of Jesus. That's what the Word of God tells us. Though your sins are scarlet, I'll wash them white as snow. Because you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent. The wise and intelligent in the ways of the world and revealed them to infants. Yea, even babes in Christ. When we're born again, He reveals them to us. Faith like a child, He says. Trust in Heavenly Father. Father, for such was Your gracious will. This is God's will. This is God's will for us. All things have been handed over to Me by My Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son. Not only that, they know each other. It's God. And anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal to Him. Who does He choose? Whoever comes to Him is chosen. Whoever comes to Him. Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called indeed. The entire world's being called. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto Me. Jesus is calling all people to come to Him. But those who are chosen are the only ones that will come forth. Those who are chosen, are you living for Him? Are you living for Him? Verse 23. Then turning to the disciples, Jesus said to them privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. Praise God. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. They didn't get to see the day, but we're living in the day, the latter days, the latter reign of the Holy Ghost. We're living in the days. What a wonderful privilege we have to live in this final day. The Lord may come back today. He may come back tomorrow. Hey, it may even be another 100 years. No matter what, we're living in the days of Jesus Christ. The Bible is closed. You know, back there in the old days, they're looking ahead. They're looking ahead at the cross. But we have the wonderful privilege to look back at it and live in freedom. Live in the freedom that Jesus Christ offers us. Let's all bow our heads. I want to ask you, are you living for the Lord first? Do you know Him as Savior? You can't live for Him unless you know Him. You can't live for Him unless you're submitting to Him. Live a life of submission. The laborers are few, He says, but that harvest, it's plentiful. There's so much to do for the Lord. There's so much to do. There's so much. So many people need reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's got something for you personally to do. No matter what your ancestors, your parents, no matter what all that, God's got a will for you personally. He's got a job for you to do in the kingdom of God. He needs you to be gleaning the fields. He needs you to be harvesting for the Lord through Him. Remember that we're the sheep of His pasture. We're His lambs. Means we need to be submissive to our shepherd. We saw when the 70 returned. It was a victorious return. It wasn't a return of weeping like we read in the letters of Revelation about those churches. Some of them was good, like Smyrna. Some of them was sad, some of the things that Christ had to say, like Laodicea, because of lukewarmness, because they wouldn't care. They didn't care to get up and serve the Lord. They're too lukewarm, too enamored with the ways of the world. Lip service toward the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if you want to have victory, if you want to live for the Lord, you've got to do it with all your heart. God says, you will seek Me and you will find Me when you search for Me with all your heart. Is there a corner in your life that you're not allowing the Lord to be in? Is there a corner in your life that you're not allowing Him? Or do you even not even know Him? Take a moment, pray to God, and listen to Him. His throne of grace is always open. Heavenly Father, you promised in your word, you said that you would search Jerusalem out with candles. You see the innermost part of our hearts, Lord. For you see through all darkness. You see through all light. You know all things and see all things. Bless each and every one of these wonderful people gathered here together, Lord, both inside and everybody outside. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus to lift them up. Help them to live for you, truly. Every day, help us all to live for you. Everything we got, Lord. As we prayed in the psalm earlier, that we may teach transgressors your ways and sinners may be converted to you, Lord. Help us to, on the end of days, be returning, just as the 70 did, Lord, in victory, that even the devils submit in the name of Jesus, Lord, as you promised, that we can live in victorious lives by your blood, by your grace, and by your ways, Lord. Help us to live in that victory. We thank you so much, Heavenly Father. Fill us up with your Holy Ghost, that we may truly love you and worthily magnify thy holy name. Bless us as we depart from here, Lord. We know that you're sending us out like sheep in the presence of wolves. Help us stay close to you, our good shepherd. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.